And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Colton, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Also, don't forget, if you have missed the beginning of the show, or you have to maybe get out of your car halfway through, we do archive all of the shows on our own website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. You go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you will see pictures of who's been on the show, and you'll also be able to download the show and forward it to friends if you want people to listen to it. So don't forget to do that. And while you are on the website, I always encourage you to go and look at our calendar, because we do much more than just have exhibitions. The exhibitions change up to 16 times a year. So again, if you've been to the National Art Gallery one time, you have not seen it all, you can come back again. We're constantly changing offerings, putting up new shows. Some stay up for longer, some for less time. So go to the calendar and see what's happening. But we also have lots of events. Like tonight, we have a book launch for a book of photography about Eleuthera. So that is from 6 to 9. So if you're in the car going somewhere, you could always pop by the gallery and have a glass of champagne and come to the book launch. It's going to be a lovely book that you could get maybe for someone for Christmas. We also have the National Exhibition opening in a couple of weeks. That is always open to the public. The opening is on the 13th of December and starts at 6 p.m. And that is always open for everybody. We have our ongoing film series, Travolta Cooper curating different movies that we screen in the amphitheater. We're going to have Christmas jazz on the 21st in the amphitheater, free concert by Willis and the Illis on Friday the 7th of December. That is, again, free. So please go to the calendar, take a look and see what's happening and participate in your NAGB. That again is www.nagb.org.bs. And now we're going to get back to tonight's subject, who is Mr. Max Taylor sitting in the studio with me. And we're learning all about how Max got interested in art. He is opening his own show with fellow printmakers on Friday, November 30th, so that's in 2 days, at Dungalik Studios, which is down there on Village Road, between 6 and 9 p.m. is the opening. And again, all the openings, normally when there's an art opening, that is free, and no one has to wait for an invitation. You can just go. The galleries are always happy to see you. The artists are always happy to see you. So I really encourage you to go out and support our artists. And that is a show that's called Imprint, and it is about printmaking in the Bahamas. Because as I was saying just before the break, Max is really known, even though he is an amazing painter, incredible ceramicist. He still makes wonderful ceramics that you can still get at various places, including the NAGB store. But he really is known as being the leading printmaker in the Bahamas. So, Max, why printmaking? You learned, obviously, ceramics at Chelsea Pottery. And for the people listening that don't know what Chelsea Pottery was, that was a group of ceramicists that came from the UK in the late 50s and opened up a ceramic studio, which became sort of like an informal art school. Mm-hmm. How did you get then to printmaking? And what is it about printmaking that you find so compelling?
Well, I got interested in printmaking, as I, mentioned before, that I didn't know what it was all about. Mm-hmm. I learned it from books, because when I look at the works of, say, Rembrandt, mm-hmm. I look at the work of Francisco Goya, yep. His Disasters of War, and I look at the work of Henry McNeil Whistler. Mm-hmm. Those were fantastic American as well as European printmakers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, one of my favorite was William Blake.
Oh, yeah. Now, oh, my gosh.
Blake, he was, yeah. I think people thought he was a little bit crazy, but I really admired his work.
I think he was just inspired.
Yeah. I really think that. But, there were certain works that I really do admire, mm-hmm. and still do in a sense. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting though, because Blake was also a painter, but he's really known for his printmaking. Mm-hmm. But all the other people you mentioned, when you say their name to the average person, they probably would think of them just as being a painter. Yeah. So it's interesting that you really were drawn to that side of their practice, which is the printmaking.
Yeah, well, before I get into that, because I was so, you know, I kept reading about printmaking. I didn't even know what a brea looked like, or they call it a roller. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what an etching needle was. I didn't know what a V-gauge or U-gauge tool was. So I experimented with, I got a piece of pine wood, and then I got some old chisels, that carpenter's chisel and stuff like that. And then I tried it on a piece of wood, but... And after I finished cutting it, I did, you know, with a funny chisel and stuff like that, sort of awkward.
Pretty rough, yeah.
Because it, I think it's still in the first piece I did is still in the collection of our National Art Gallery with a man, you know. And then I tried, one of the interesting thing about, you know, is I didn't even know what a brea was or a roller. You know?
I'm pretty sure most of our audience doesn't either.
So I got a bottle and took the bottle and rubbed the ink, you know, through the bottle. And then I took and rubbed it on the block, and I got a piece of paper, and I rubbed it with, you know, I can't even remember what I rubbed it with. And I got an impression, and that was it, you know. So I didn't know what the tools were, you know, in spite of the fact. So... In a sense, I lost interest, you know, because...
Because it was sort of too complicated almost.
It was complicated.
And less, and the results weren't what you wanted.
Results wasn't, you know, what I want. So when I went to school at the Art Students League, I really was, what people don't know is I was really interested in painting like Monet or Manet, the Expressionist, because I was fascinated with their work also. And then I met a very good friend of mine. I think she's a master printer now, someplace in the United States, you know. And she told me, say, Max, when are you going to take up the printmaking class? I say, you know, I say, I'm not sure. And she told me straight and plain, she said, Max, if you take it up, that's it. You're going to get hooked.
Never going to go back to painting again.
She was right. She was right. So I started taking up woodcuts.
Yeah.
And then I started taking up all we learned, all the old methods in printmaking, especially etchings.
So explain to the audience. So, of course, you know, printmaking is creating an image on an object, which you then cover with a material, which you can transfer to paper. So, again, like kids will do it at school with potatoes, right? They'll cut potatoes, a shape out of a potato and, you know, make a print. Or you can do it with your hand, even. You can make a print, right? You can paint your hand and put it on a piece of paper. Obviously, printmaking. And it's interesting because it also uses the brain in an interesting way, because when you're making a print, everything's going to be backwards when you print it.
Exactly.
But explain to the audience what those differences are between, say, a woodcut and an etching.
Well, an etching is done on two types of metal that are, you know, quite popular. And that is zinc plates, and that is copper plates, and there's aluminum plates, and there's brass plates, you know. But I learned on zinc, I learned on brass, and I learned on copper. Now, when you're talking about etchings, what you have to really realize is etching takes time. When Rembrandt did his etching, sometimes he worked on a plate, I don't know, almost 10, 12 times to get the effect that he wants. And a lot of printmakers are still going through that. You know, now, if you're a line drawer, then it doesn't take that much time. But when you start taking into the process of our tonal values,
shading,
it becomes a little complicated. You see, very complicated, because you have to dip a plate about five or six times, maybe even longer, before you can get the results that you want. So you have to print, bite, print, bite, print, bite, until you get what you want. Woodcuts is very simple, because you're only using a U-gauge and V-gauge. So you draw your image on the block, on a white block, painting it, and you draw the image it accurately as you can, and then you start cutting out. All the areas you cut out is your negative. The areas that you leave is your positive areas. But it's much more simple than etchings.
Mm-hmm. Because there's not different layers. You can't really go for tones. You can go for color, but not really tone.
So now when you come into color woodcuts, then it becomes a little bit complicated. Because every color, you have to have a different block.
Right.
So you may have to cut about four or five different, you know, blocks to, you know, to get all the colors you want. But there is a technique, is called subtraction technique. And that means that Picasso spent, I think, about 5 years, because I saw Picasso's lino cuts at the Modern Museum of Art. I think he spent about 5 years. And that was fantastic. Really fantastic.
Yeah, well, he was one of those people. Like, he was just, he would learn something and then excel at it. And it's annoying that there's some talents like that.
Well, he spent, you know, he spent a good while with lino cuts. As simple as it is, he really made it interesting. And not only that, you should see the freedom that he had. But, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is even to, when I was in New York, and even today, you have what you call professional printers, you know. And they would, all the artists have to do now is he, all he does is print the block or show them the block, and these professional printers, they take it from there.
We'll make the print.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that cheating a little bit?
I thought it was, but if you could afford it, they get, that's how they make their money.
I mean, I guess it's not dissimilar to the old painters having studio assistants, right? I mean, Titian didn't paint every single inch of his canvas.
No, yes, yeah, you're right? Because you have to remember a lot of those, like even Durer, Titian, they had a lot of, what you call it, a lot of other people working.
You know, and they would do the kind of legwork.
Exactly.
So I guess it's sort of the same. But there's it's interesting how there's a sort of mythology about the artist. You know, you want the artist to have done everything themselves with their hand. You know, somehow there's that aura about, you know, your hand. No, I want Max Taylor's hand to make my print, not some other Joe in New York.
But, you know, it'll be good if Bahamians, I know Bahamians are collecting art. You have a lot of collectors. And but everybody is painting.
It's true.
Yeah. But I would like to introduce printmaking to the Bahamas, because even in the schools, they only go to a certain point.
Like, oh, really?
Woodcuts or lino cuts and that's it.
Oh, and no more.
You see?
Okay.
Yeah, nobody's doing etchings.
Well, we need to get UB on the phone.
You see? That would be a good idea. But printmaking is really exciting. Please. Yeah. And when I say that, it's, if you start a collection of prints, it's not that expensive.
That's true. It's true. Prints are not as expensive as as paintings. So it is a much more affordable way. It's actually how I started. Yeah. I started with photographs and prints and then worked my way up. And I think about some of those early pieces and, you know, they're still very close to my heart. So we're talking to Max Taylor, who is, well, really the father of Bahamian art. Said Brent Malone, even though everyone called Brent that, Brent said it was really Max. So we have him in the studio, and we're talking about printmaking, which is really Max's, what he's known for. He's an excellent painter and ceramicist, but really the prints are, you know, you really, when you see one of those, you know it's nobody else. And we're talking about how he would like to see more Bahamian artists making prints. And I believe that is why he organized this exhibition, which opens in 2 nights at Dungalik Studios on Village Road between 6 and 9. So that's Friday, November 30th. And it is called Imprint. And he has got together with a couple of other Bahamian artists who we'll have on the show another time to talk about printmaking. And this show is about Bahamian printmaking. So I'd really like everyone to go out and support that. We're going to go to a quick break, but we're going to come back to hear more from Max. Are you ready, Max, for another session?
Yep. Let's go.
You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9. We're going to be right back after this break.